Blog Talk Radio.
This program is proudly produced by an unlicensed and unregistered journalist, blogger, commentator. It is purposely unsanctioned by the United States government, and under new legislation pending in Congress, this program, as well as those who comment and share it online, may be determined by a future court to be criminalistic or terroristic in nature and subject to penalties under U.S. law. Thank you. And may Allah bless our king and the United Soviet States of Detroit.
Oh, look, a unicorn. Oh!
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption.
Corruption. Corruption. Corruption.
Until now.
Now. Now. Now.
Captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom. Now, is it me or is it just me, but does this president know anything of what the hell is going on in his administration? He doesn't know anything about Benghazi. Had no idea what was going on there. We got some more stuff on that. There was a interview on 60 Minutes last night. I don't know if anybody saw it. I didn't see it last night. I saw it this morning. I was more wrapped up, and I had football going. I had, of course, I had those god-awful, nauseating Sunday morning shows that I had to watch a little bit of them, you know, but they just make you ill. So I got some stuff from that. So they don't cover anything that they should cover, and what they shouldn't cover, that's they just cover and cover and cover. Just, you know, stop. And stop bringing on the same old, just worn out trash after another. I'm just sick of it all. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of seeing everybody. All the faces that you see on TV anymore, I'm sick of them. Don't you hate that? You turn on the television, you try to watch a little bit of news, and every single face that you see just makes you sick. You can't stand looking at them anymore. That's how I am sometimes. So I had to break away, had to watch football, had to watch a car race. My boy Junior, well, he was up there third, and then back down at 12th. He finally ended up, I think, fifth or sixth, but no, eighth, I think is what it was. Still in the top 10, but, you know, it's still not a win. You know, I got to get my boy a win here. I want to see him win a championship. Before he retires, I just want to see Dale Earnhardt Jr. win a damn championship. I'd like to see it when I'm still alive, is what I'd like to see it. But anywho, let's get right into this. Anybody remember Benghazi? Well, that's the first thing right here out of my treasure chest this morning. So we're gonna get busy with a lot of stuff with that interview yesterday. It was pretty interesting stuff, but of course they didn't really go as deep as what they really should have. But and they already told us stuff that we actually knew, but it was just nice to hear it again because you know for a fact there was a lot of people that still have no idea. Maybe just one of them might have been watching last night, but who the hell knows? Let's see, what the hell else is on my list here? Ah, big old rush to sign up for Medicaid could spell very big trouble for Obamacare. See, all the people getting the free health care are jumping in line. Boy, they're running in. Hey, gimme. I want that free Obama phone, too, damn it. I want my free kitchen, and would you make my car payment? Hell, give it to me all, brother. So they're jumping in. But the people that, the healthy people that are supposed to get in there to, well, you know, fund these people aren't signing up. People are having great, they're having great difficulty finding people to sign up. They got the Baltimore Ravens, which I don't know if I was on that Ravens team, I wouldn't do it. I'd say, if you want to fire me, then fire me. But I'm not doing it. I'm not supporting something I don't support. Just because I'm on your team and I am your employee does not mean that I am going to do something that I do not support. Whatever. There's still people out there that think that this Obamacare, they still, the reason why is because you have a lot of people that they haven't been enrolled in it yet. And when I say yet, I mean yet. I do believe that the big business, that doesn't happen until like 2015. Unions, they got till like, I think it's all 2015. So all these people that still, yeah, oh, yeah, you can keep your health care plan. Yeah, you can keep it until they take it away from you. That's exactly what they are going to do. So, yeah, you'll be able to keep it. According to Axelrod, oh, yeah, most people are going to be able to keep it, he says, yeah. All right. People that he's referring to find out in 2015 that they are have no choice but to enroll into this and realize that their payments are, yes, going to go up. Their deductibles are going to go up. Their doctor is going to go away. They're going to have to, well, be handed a special government doctor. See, that doctor knows more than you. He knows more about your body than you do. You don't know this person. He might not even speak English. More than likely, he might be an illegal alien. That's what it's coming down to. Well, they're going to have to get it from somewhere because the Americans aren't becoming doctors anymore. They're doing other things. Anyway, let's get going here today. I'm not in a very good mood today. There's a lot of junk. It's just kind of it's almost kind of sunny out. But I don't know. Just suck, and they're not getting any unsuckier. That's the problem. Some health insurance gets pricier as Obamacare rolls out. Really? God, we haven't heard that before. And Sebelius to testify before she's out the door. Well, of course, they got to blame somebody. Now, not for nothing, but I cannot imagine that this president would just leave it in the hands of somebody like Kathleen Sebelius to single-handedly control and get this up and running, and he not have any briefings of finding out how things are going. Everybody's lying to everybody. Oh, everything is going good. Everything is going good. Everything is going good. You know damn good and well the president knew what was going on, but he didn't want to save face. He didn't want to get out there and say, well, we screwed up. That's why he's waiting so long before he has to delay. And whoever this guy is that came out and said he's going to have it done by November 30th. Oh, yes, I'm going to get it done by November 30th. Okay, he just pulled a date directly out of his little knapsack. When most people are talking that this program, however it was written, it cannot be fixed and needs to be scrapped and completely rewritten. But you know that the government won't do that. They're still going to keep this flawed system in place because they don't want to admit that they were wrong. Even though it's going to be an absolute nightmare for everybody. There's going to be continued glitches. People are going to be completely removed from health care plans. People are going to get health care plans and didn't even know they had one. It's going to be a disaster. It's going to be much more expensive because they won't be able to run it. They're going to have to increase the prices of it because they're going to have to pay all these people that they paid to, well, get it up and running, and it's going to have to continuously be fixed because it can never work. Scrap it, start over, do it again. Only this time, you need to have conversations and discussions and negotiations and debates before you cram a law down the American people's throat, especially after the American people are continuously telling you, we do not want it. And all those telling you how great and wonderful it is aren't in it yet. But when they do get in it, and we're starting to see people who never thought that they were going to get into it, it was only going to be for those people. It wasn't going to be for me. Oh, no, that's for those people, the poor people, the nothing people, the little people. Not for me. I'm a Fox News analyst. Well, sorry there, sweetheart, but this is the plan that you voted for. You voted for it. I give you absolutely no sympathy whatsoever. Serves you right. Maybe if you had thought about this before you went to the ballot box and voted twice for this crap, maybe, just maybe, you'd be able to keep your little health care and your doctor, and your plans would not go up. But that's not the case now, is it? Oh, let me sit in my captain's chair here. My bones are getting old. Let's see, what else do we got? Mr. Woodward. Mr. Watergate himself. Yeah, you exposed a know-nothing, tiny little break-in and turned it into something that, well, you made the Republicans react. You made the Nixon administration react to it. Yeah, you have an enemies list. Give me a president that doesn't have an enemies list. Give me a citizen that doesn't have an enemies list. You don't think Barack Obama has an enemies list? Hello? How many people has this administration prosecuted? How many people are in jail because of this administration? That's not the administration's role. That's not the administration's job. And don't tell me for one second that the administration did not have something to do with that filmmaker that they blamed the Benghazi attack on. He's still in jail, as far as I know. Even the American people know. They knew what would happen. They knew what happened. We all know what happened. And they still have yet to tell what really happened. We still have not heard those words from this president. We still have yet to have this president say that the Benghazi attack was a terrorist attack. He still has yet to say it. That Rose Garden speech, please stop. No. Barack Obama approved the tapping of Angela Merkel's phone 3 years ago. He said he didn't. Are you saying that he's lying? Anyway, getting back to Mr. Woodward, the secret government under Obama administration needs to be reviewed. He doesn't like this Obama administration very well, I've noticed. He's very critical. I wonder what's up with that. I wonder, maybe he wanted a job and they wouldn't give it to him. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he wanted a job in this administration like all the other mediaites, I guess you might say, all the other reporters. See, they want the young ones because, see, the young ones, they don't know anything yet like you do, Mr. Woodward. That's why you weren't allowed to be and work in the Obama administration. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I'm speculating. But I don't trust that Woodward. I do like when he comes out and criticizes the Obama administration. I'm not going to stop him. But that being said, I still don't trust the guy. He's a bit of a snake. So the world's anger at Obama's policies goes much, much deeper than Europe and the NSA. Ooh. And Cheney, Middle East allies no longer trust the United States, and the enemies do not fear us. That's absolutely 100% correct. That's the problem. The problem is the American people have to naturally fear this government. We shouldn't be the ones fearing this government. This government should be the ones fearing us. That's when you have a democracy.
How about this? How about a black box in your car? That way they can tax you per mile. There's states that want to, that are this close from getting it done. And I haven't read the story yet. I don't know anything about it. But I'll guarantee you California is going to be one of them states. That's just the kind of state that they are. They're scraping for money. They're turning into Detroit themselves. All of California, up and down. People are moving out. All the rich people are like, hey, man, I'm not gonna pay for this. We'll just let the middle class take care of it. Middle class can't move out. Some of these people, they can't get out. Where are they going to go? You can't find another job. You can't even find a job that you have. Then you're going to go somewhere else. Where? What are you going to do? How are you going to sell your home? Your home isn't worth anything. People are moving out. And nobody wants to move in. Why do you want to move into a place when everybody's moving out? It'd be nice, but then you're going to have to foot the bill with all the taxes that they're going to be keep putting on you. Because they overspent all the money that they had before. They completely mismanaged it. Everybody got a nice little fancy bonus check. But where's the money to run the city? Well, where's the money to run the state? Well, where's the money to run the country? Well, we don't know. We can just print some more, though. We're the federal government. We can do whatever the hell we want. Mm-hmm. So now they're going to put a black box in your car. Find out how many miles that you're driving so they can tax you per mile. Isn't that nice? Isn't that a state that you would love to live in? Wouldn't you love to have that? Imagine that, the government, not only the NSA spying on your emails and your phone calls, tracking your every move on your little Google Map app, I guess you call it. So they got a GPS coordinates of you at all times. Now they're going to put it on your car. They're going to find out where you drive, where you go. Is this the kind of country you want to live in? NSA spied on 60 million Spanish phone calls in a month. How the hell? I mean, what are they doing with all this many phone calls? I know they're just, most of them, I believe, just taking down the where the call is coming from and the distance they're on the phone. But why? What is that going to tell you? What are you going to get from that? I know we're all spying on everybody. Okay, that's fine. But again, this goes down to competence. If you're going to spy, you need to make damn sure that nobody knows that you're spying. That's the whole point of being a spy. This administration doesn't get it. When you've got Bradley Mannings, or now Chelsea Mannings, and Edward Snowden's, you've got these guys being able to just, I mean, these guys are just fresh off the damn stupid street. Walking in one of the biggest, actually the biggest spy agency in all of the planet, and able to take all this information out, doop-de-doop-de-doo, hop on a plane, fly to Hong Kong. Imagine that. How is this administration showing any competence? Where is the competence in that? Well, where does it stop? Well, it has to go with the president. Did anybody really lose their job? Oh, there was a couple guys replaced only months and months and months after. But they weren't fired. They weren't. You don't do that. You do not allow secret, top secret information able to be leaked. You do not allow 400 surface-to-air missiles to be stolen. Attack or no attack. The fact that they had 400 surface-to-air missiles in Benghazi. The fact that those missiles were there. Should have had ample security to guard them. Where was that security? Well, we can't get that information from Ms. Clinton. She's too busy running for president now. Immigration reform pitch gets more aggressive now. So the illegal aliens are going to get more aggressive to just get automatic citizenship. Why? Because you just came over here?
Well, you know, it used to be that way. And at a certain time, yes, it wouldn't be a question. You would be a citizen. You'd be here. But we don't live in that time anymore. Not for nothing, but hello. Turn on a damn television once in a while. Pay attention to where you're walking. Pay attention to your own neighborhood. What, are you kidding me? Come on. And unfortunately, sad news to report, the passing of rock star legend Lou Reed. End of the show, we'll play one of his greatest hits, which is one of my favorite songs, by the way, of all time rock and roll. So let's get started here. Anybody remember Benghazi? Anybody? I know, it's so long ago. Oh, so long ago. I mean, it's just a blur anymore. It was so damn long ago. So anyway, let's get started on here. These are these clips come from a 60 Minutes interview. I believe it was last night. I was watching football in the World Series, and I fell asleep last night in the World Series, and I don't know who won. I never got a chance to see who won. So I am rooting for the Cards. I know most people are rooting for the Red Sox, but I'm rooting for the Cardinals. So screw it. Anywho, here we are. Let's go. 60 Minutes cut one. Go.
Vent of an attack. Morgan had nothing to do with the militia, but they worried him so much he could not keep quiet.
Because I was saying these guys are no good. You need to get them out of here.
You also kept saying, if this place is attacked, these guys are not going to stand and fight.
Yeah, I used to say it all the time. In the end, I got quite bored of hearing my own voice saying it.
So here he is. This is Morgan Jones. He's a British soldier sent to Benghazi to help the Americans. And he talked about, I don't have that audio, I wish I did, but anyway, he talked about when he first arrived up there. He's coming in his Jeep or whatever. He's pulling up to the, I believe, the annex or the embassy, into the gates there. There's no guards. He's saying, what the hell's going on here? Come to find out, they go inside. They finally get in. There are no guards. They go in, and all the guards, which are Libyan guards, sent there to guard our embassy, are inside drinking tea, and he says they're laughing and they're joking. And he made several requests to get rid of these guys because they're, you know, they're bad news. Well, they're sent there on purpose. And he said during the attack, the same guy, this British guy, during the attack, one of the guys came up and in the night, one of the attackers, and he described how he smashed the butt of his gun into the guy's head and he fell down. I don't know whether he died or not. He didn't say, but imagine that being in a dark, wham! Oh, man. I mean, that's lights out, you know? But hey, man, that's what they had to do, man. That was hand-to-hand combat, this guy. And he fought for what? He was protecting these guys. First of all, there was no reason why the attack. And we're going to find out later in these clips. It's very interesting. There was some very telling information. And slowly but surely, there's going to be a lot more information. Not all of the information, unfortunately. But I think there should be enough where the public, I don't understand why a lot of Democrats, and I think they're just like the administration, just put it to the side, don't think about it, out of sight, out of mind. They don't want to associate something like this, something as tragic as what happened with Benghazi, with their guy that they voted for. They don't want to be associated with that. So they brush up, oh, it was a long time ago, and come on, these guys working in a dangerous environment, you know, they bought their tickets, they knew what they were getting into. You know, it happens, and it was only four. It's not like it was a whole bunch. But come on. So, anywho, let's go with the, this is the Green Beret commander, Lieutenant Colonel Andy Wood. He's got some good stuff. So let's go with cut number two. Go ahead.
We have one option. Leave Benghazi or you will be killed.
Green Beret Commander Lieutenant Colonel Andy Wood was one of the top American security officials in Libya based in Tripoli, he met with Ambassador Stevens every day. The last time he went to Benghazi was in June, just 3 months before the attack. While he was there, Al-Qaeda tried to assassinate the British ambassador. Wood says to him it came as no surprise because Al-Qaeda, using a familiar tactic, had stated their intent in an online posting, saying they would attack the Red Cross, the British, and then the Americans in Benghazi.
And you watched as they attacked the Red Cross and the British mission, and the only ones left
were us. They made good on two out of the three promises. It was a matter of time till they captured the third one.
And Washington was aware of that?
They knew, we monitored it. We included that in our reports to both State Department and DOD.
Imagine that. Imagine having all this information. But they didn't know. The president didn't know that there was a problem. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had no idea that there was a problem with security. No idea. And it was the Republicans' fault anyway, because they scraped out, you know, they didn't pass the right bill, or what was that lame-ass excuse? Is they lowered the funding for whatever. It was a real weak, lame, pitiful excuse. It had nothing to do with security over there on our embassies. That was scaled back deliberately by the administration and nobody else. If this administration would want heavier security at an embassy in a very hot environment, there ain't enough Republicans on planet Earth that could stop an administration from guarding the embassy. So I don't want to hear it. So anyway, there's more on this commander. And we're going to go with number three. Go ahead.
DOD.
Andy Wood told us he raised his concerns directly with Ambassador Stevens 3 months before the U.S. compound was overrun.
I made it known in a country team meeting, you are going to get attacked. You are going to get attacked in Benghazi. It's going to happen. You need to change your security profile.
Shut down
operations. Move out temporarily or change locations within the city. Do something to break up the profile because you are being targeted. They're watching you. The attack cycle is such that they're in their final planning stages.
Wait a minute. You said they're in the final planning stages of an attack on the American mission in Benghazi.
It was apparent to me that was the case.
Reading
all these other attacks that were occurring, I could see what they were staging up to. It was obvious.
Imagine that. Here you have a Lieutenant Colonel, Green Beret Commander, telling the administration, the DOD, State Department, telling everybody, you're going to be attacked. You're going to be attacked. You're going to be attacked. Our embassy's not safe. We need security. All these warning signs up and down the line. They were all ignored. They were all ignored deliberately. I want to know, my question to the administration is, how long did this administration know that this attack was going to take place? Was that trip to Vegas planned on that day deliberately? Coincide with the events in Benghazi? Play it off? I don't like making accusations like that. So it's not really an accusation. It's more of a question. Because nothing surprises me anymore with this administration, and I don't know where they're going. So I'm trying to find out where they are going. They seem devious enough to me to go down that road. But I can't point my finger and accuse them of it. But I am asking, how long did they know this attack was going to take place? We're going to find out more. Let's see. Yes, we'll find out in the next clip. I'm going to shut up now, and we're going to play the next clip. And then when we get to the next clip after that, then we'll continue this conversation. So let's go with cut number four. Go.
Impeccable reputation.
And in that environment, you were asking for more security assets, and you were not getting them.
That's right.
Did you fight that?
I was in the process of trying to frame a third request, but it was not allowed to go forward.
So why didn't you get the help that you needed and that you asked for?
I really, really don't know. I, in fact, would like to know that, the answer to that question.
And that was my fault. I forgot to introduce who it was so you knew who the hell it was. That was Greg Hicks. You remember him from the testimony. He was the second man in charge. He was in Tripoli. He was the ambassador, the second-hand man to, I guess, whatever they call it, the ambassador of, I don't know, the vice ambassador, whatever the hell he is. He's number two. So, and he was good friends with Ambassador Stevens. They knew each other for many years. So you all remember him from, well, anyway, that was him. So let's go again here now with clip number five. This is, I do believe that this is the Lieutenant Commander of the Green Beret. So go ahead, cut number five, go.
Much noise.
The same force that had gone to the compound was now defending the CIA annex. Hours later, they were joined by a small team of Americans from Tripoli. From defensive positions on these rooftops, the Americans fought back a professional enemy. In a final wave of intense fighting, just after 5 a.m., the attackers unleashed a barrage of mortars. Three of them slammed into this roof, killing former Navy SEALs Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty.
They hit that roof three times.
They hit those roofs three times.
In the dock.
Yeah, that's getting the basketball through the hoop over your shoulder.
What does it take to pull off an attack like that?
Coordination, planning, training, experienced personnel. They practiced those things. They knew what they were doing. That was a well-executed attack.
A well-executed attack. They trained. They planned for this. This is why that question came to my mind. How long did this administration know this attack was going to happen? Were they part of the training? I mean, I don't know. I don't think you're going to get a reporter to ask Jay Carney that. Well, you might get one, but they'll never get another opportunity to come into another White House press briefing again. But it does beg the question. They wanted to give out those 400 surface-to-air missiles to the Syrian opposition, the Syrian rebels, but they knew they couldn't legally do it because the American people wouldn't allow it. Congress wouldn't allow it. So they had to get the missile somehow. I don't understand why they just didn't sneak them out the back damn door and get it done with. You didn't need to go through this. I think there's something very sinister, something very, very evil with this. Now, I'm not pointing my finger and saying exactly that, yes, the administration knew this was going on. They helped planning it, you know, like George Bush. That was an inside job with 9/11 and blah, 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 blah. That's not what I'm saying. What I want to know, what I'm really trying to get at is I'm fishing to find out what the hell happened. How would 400 surface-to-air missiles get stolen? Why was that embassy attacked? We've had all these other attacks. We've had how many times did the lieutenant commander, the Green Beret commander, warning after warning after warning? Everybody's warning everybody. You're about to be attacked. You're going to get attacked. You're going to get attacked. We need more security, more security. Now, why wouldn't they? If you have that, you just think about this logically. Say you're in charge of, a big country like the United States, and you've got an embassy in a, you know, probably one of the most hottest zones on planet Earth, one of the most dangerous zones. I mean, you have your people over there, small amount. You got a bunch of missiles. Don't you think you would want to have the proper security? And when you're being warned, your people are saying, hey, you know, look, Mr. President, they're planning an attack here. And they've got the Al-Qaeda flags waving all up and down the city, and they mean business. And they've already attacked the British. They've attacked over here. There's several attacks, and they're going to do it again. How many more times have we got to warn you that these people are for real and we need to beef up security before you finally listen? Well, they didn't listen. I mean, what difference does it make? What difference does it make whether it was a real attack or it was over a video or was it pre-planned? What difference does it make? We completed our objective, which was to get 400 surface-to-air missiles in the hands of the Syrian opposition, Al-Qaeda. Hello? That's exactly what that was all about. Now, what my question is, knowing that we do believe that the administration, for whatever reason, allowed those weapons to get stolen, because America does not allow weapons to be stolen. That's number one. And if they do, that's incompetence. If that's incompetence, there needs to be a lot of people lose their jobs. America does not, the American military does not allow any of their weapons to be stolen. Our own police departments don't allow their weapons to be stolen. And if they do, they are tracked down immediately, and they don't get away with it. We know who was over there. Yes, we did have surveillance. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if they weren't watching it live, knowing exactly what was happening. But don't send anybody. See, because the attack's going to be over soon, because they obviously now, again, makes me wonder. If they knew they weren't going to get there in time, how long did they know that the attack was going to go for? So were they in on the planning? Because we know for a fact that this attack was pre-planned. We had a Green Beret, Lieutenant Commander, just tell you that there's no way for what they were doing that this wasn't planned and this wasn't trained and this wasn't executed. They probably had a training camp somewhere set up where they had the embassy right there. They probably knew exactly how it was going to go down. Probably went down by clockwork. Well, we couldn't get there on time is their excuse for not sending help. That I have to ask, did they know the attack was going to happen? And how long was the attack supposed to take place? See, there's just too many questions there. Now, I'm not saying, a conspiracy theory that there was an inside job. But when you start putting two and two and two and two and two and two together, you know, eventually it starts looking that way. So you have to naturally ask the questions. You hope you get the right answer, and you hope you get the answer that you want. I'd like to think that this administration didn't do that. But I'm not seeing any evidence to support it, support the other or the either. I don't know. But as Woodward said, there is a secret government going on in the Obama administration. So what they're really up to, we'll ever know. And if we do find out, we probably don't want to know. I know I don't want to know, but I do want to know because we can't have this anymore. We can't. We're creating enemies wherever we go. This guy was supposed to be the big uniter. He has divided not only this country, but he has divided this planet. Do we even have any allies left? I mean, who? First thing he did out of the box, he insulted the British, being an Indian giver. Gives up the bust of Churchill. Now he's spying on everybody. Made a complete ass out of himself with Syria. That Assad isn't afraid of Barack Obama. I mean, he looks like a little, you know, a little runt next to Putin. Putin certainly is not afraid of him. Angela Merkel's not afraid of him. Spain isn't. Brazil's not. I mean, this guy's making the French. They're not afraid of him. Nobody's afraid of him. Nobody's afraid of the United States, which scares the living hell out of me. I mean, they attacked us when they were afraid of us. Now what are they going to do when they're not afraid of us? All right, let's go. Cut number six. Get it over with. Number six, go.
Honest. The Americans who rushed to help that night went without asking for permission. And the lingering question is why no larger military response ever crossed the border into Libya, something Greg Hicks realized wasn't going to happen just an hour into the attack.
You have this conversation with the defense attaché. You ask him what military assets are on their way, and he says...
Effectively, they're not. And I, for a moment, I just felt lost. I just couldn't believe the answer. And then I made the call to the NX chief. I told him, listen, you've got to tell those guys there may not be any help coming.
That's a tough thing to understand. Why?
It just is. We, you know, for us, for the people that go out, you know, onto the edge to represent our country, we believe that if we get in trouble, they're coming to get us. But our back is covered. To hear that it's not, it's a terrible, terrible experience.
That was Mr. Hicks again. And he's the one who had to make that phone call to, hey guys, there's no help coming. You're on your own. Imagine that. Imagine talking to people you know that stand a very good chance of dying because the American military will not send any help. My question is, why was there not help sent? I don't buy this time BS from Mr. Panetta. I think that's weak and that's pitiful. He should have lost his job just for simply making that cockamamie statement. I found that disgusting. I found that absolutely offensive. Anybody who's ever donned a uniform knows that simply isn't true. Anybody who's over the age of five knows that isn't true. Since when does the United States not send in help? You never leave a man behind. Firemen don't do it. Police don't do it. But now our military, now we do it. Well, it wasn't the military that left us behind. It was the government that left the military behind. Let's just get that squared away. It wasn't the military leaving their own there. That was the government that left the military there. And this guy gets reelected for that. That just makes me sick to my stomach. The more I learn with this Benghazi, the more irritated I get, the more sick to my stomach I get, more ashamed I get. That's something to be embarrassed about, Miss Landrieu. Speaking of embarrassment, this Obamacare that Ms. Landrieu was so excited about, she can now travel to Europe and not be embarrassed, well, is having all kinds of problems. Why? Well, everybody's signing up all of who are entitled for the free Obamacare.
So they're all rushing in to sign up, and all the people that have to actually pay for it, they're not signing up. Who's going to end up paying for this? Well, they're going to have to raise taxes now. Well, instead of cutting a whole bunch of spending that we don't want, don't need, and can't afford, they just keep raising more and more taxes. Well, there's not enough money on planet Earth to satisfy these people. You want to do a program? You want to do this? You want to? Well, then go out and earn it. Earn the money to do it. If you can get people to donate it, you can have your cockamamie little plan. That's the way it should be done. It should be done by society, local as possible. You got people that are down and out? Well, you find a way to, you know, within the society, within the community to help them. It should not be government. Government should not get involved. It's not their role. It's not their position to get involved. Regardless, they think that, oh, that's just being heartless. No, it's not being heartless. It's not the government's role to do that. That's your job, not the government. That's your neighbor that's over there that's down and out, but you're not getting off your fat, lazy ass to go help them. You just expect the government to do it. And since you're in the public sector, it's really not going to affect you that much. You raise a tax on the private sector, well, you get a little more bonus. These people are pathetic. Just pathetically ignorant that they can't see what's right there in front of them. Well, they can. They just choose not. Obamacare is not going to work because the people don't want it, and the people aren't signing up for it, and it's far too expensive. There's less care. It's more expensive. And you're going to get fined if you can't sign on, and you can't sign on because the system doesn't work. But now we've got a deadline. We're going to get there November 30th. It's all going to be running smooth. Anybody want to put bets on that November 30th and it ain't running smooth? Something tells me it's not going to run smooth. Something tells me it's going to completely crash. It's like it's going to melt. Maybe that's what needs to happen. You've got all these high-techy guys, all these, you know, these brainiacs. They're all saying the same thing. It's damaged. Got to rewrite it. It's damaged goods. It ain't going to never work. Well, government can't come out and say that. They can't come out and say, hey, guys, American people, you know, we spent $800 billion, whatever the figure's going to end up eventually being. I'm pretty sure it's going to be over a trillion. Don't even think about it for a second. Whatever the government tells you that they just got done spending, you know for a fact it's at least double. They tell you what they're going to spend or what they want to spend, triple it. And then when you get done with all that, double it. Just dumping money into a problem doesn't fix it. Money doesn't fix problems. Money creates problems. But money itself doesn't fix the problem. You need competent people to actually get down there and do the work to make it work. That's what fixes the problem. Not money. Not taxes. Taxes don't solve anything. Taxes just create more and more problems. Oh, no. No, no, no. Clinton raised taxes. Oh, there was no problems with the Clinton administration. Really? Again, blind as a bat. Let's see. Any quotes on here in this stupid story? There are a lot of elements of this law that have to work, that must work. Otherwise, the whole thing collapses. Really? Michael Cannon. The Cato Institute. They need lots of healthy people to sign up for insurance. Of course they do. That's the problem. The healthy people aren't saying, I'm not signing up for that crap. Nobody wants it. American people do not want it. Scrap it. Get rid of it. They could have worked on just the people that were uninsured. And what they should have done with them was done everything they could to get them a job, but they didn't. They put more and more of those people that were uninsured
Those uninsured became bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and that is the point. There's only one way they can get the rich to pay their fair share.
Yeah. We'll get them. Force them to buy health care. Yeah, well, we control the prices. We'll get them. We'll get them. Boy, we're going to get them rich people.
These people, they're getting a little cocky. They're not afraid who they attack. According to Ms. Jared, well, they're going to get their comeuppance. What was that quote that she said? That those that were against this, they're going to pay. Yeah. Well, you know, that kind of attitude only lasts for so long, and eventually it's going to catch up to you. You're going to be in handcuffs, Miss Valerie Jarrett. It's where you need to be. And you keep going the way you're going, you're going to wind up in jail. So keep it up. I say keep it up. The more these people keep it up, well, more American people are going to see. They're going to see behind. They're going to see the most transparent administration. You damn skippy you are. All you have to do is open your friggin' eyes and you can see right through you. But it's all Republicans' fault, by the way. Did you know that? Kathleen Sebelius. Because of the Republicans, because they opposed Obamacare, that's why it didn't work. Obviously, all that negative energy just, you know, somehow found its way into that computer program and zapped all the numbers and the X's and O's and screwed everything up. That negative energy, that did it, that's the fault why Obamacare doesn't work. Not the people that wrote it, not the people that put it together, not the people that forced it down the American people's throats. None of that's their fault. It's not her fault for not doing her job and making sure that the exchanges were all working properly before it opened. It wasn't her fault. It certainly wasn't the president's fault. I mean, he's on the golf course. What the hell is that? He doesn't have time to do all these menial tasks. He's the king. He doesn't have time for that. So according to Miss Kathleen Sebelius, and I quote, in an ideal world, whatever the hell is that? What does that mean, in an ideal world? Give me an ideal world. Why do people talk about an ideal world? Well, an ideal world doesn't exist. So why don't you talk about reality once in a while? Well, they can't. Why? Well, because that's a dirty word. That's the R word. The C word is the Constitution. The F word is freedom. The R word is reality, responsibility. Anywho, in an ideal world, there would have been a lot more testing. Oh, see, it's the testing's fault. See, we didn't have enough time. We only had 3 years. To come make a website. Who takes 3 years to build a website? We did not have the luxury of that with a law that said it's go time on October 1st and frankly a political atmosphere. Well, the majority party, at least in the House, was determined to stop this any way they possibly could, including shut it down. The United States government. So it was not an ideal atmosphere. The Republicans. They wanted to stop it, and they wouldn't let me do my job. And it was so horrible, the things they said on TV. Telling people that the prices are going to go up. Jesus, God Almighty, stop it. Once, one freaking person in this goddamn government, just take responsibility for your friggin' actions. I cannot take any more of this. Just one person come up and say, you know what, God damn it, we screwed up. We spent far too much money. We didn't plan it. We had no idea what the hell we were doing, and we went ahead and did it anyway. We screwed up. I can respect that, but this nonsense, I can't respect this crap anymore. because they can't get a goddamn website to work because they have no idea what they're doing. The healthcare plan itself doesn't work. And she's going to blame it on Republicans, the majority party in the House, because they wanted to delay it. I mean, how do you connect the dots with that? How can you possibly blame Republicans for this? For her fault, for her mistakes. This is what you get from the Republicans. I mean, this is what you get from the Democrats. Sometimes you get that from the Republicans. You get it from, you know, most politicians. But more so with the Democrats. It's every time they open their mouth, it's never their fault. Never. The president, he doesn't know. I mean, he doesn't have time for all this day-to-day stuff. You know, his minions, his little workers do that. He doesn't. He can't be responsible. So now the prices are going up, it says here. Many middle-class Californians, with individual health plans are surprised. Oh, there's Californians are surprised their health care is going up. Well, you know, I feel not one ounce of sorrow for the Californians. These people voted and voted and voted and voted and voted this crap in for decade after decade after decade. And when it finally, there's nothing left, the kitty is all dry, nothing left. Then what do? Do they stick around to fix it? No, they leave. They're not going to stick around and help fix it. They're going to leave. That's what they're doing. Well, now Californians are going, wait a minute now. This Obamacare wasn't supposed to be for me. Oh, no. No, it was supposed to be for those poor people. It's supposed to be for all those other people, not for me. I'm a Democrat. I supported you. I shouldn't have to go through this, and why should my premiums go up? You said it was going to go down. Well, you were told that it was going to go up. But you didn't believe anybody. Oh, no, you believed the president. Because, you know, I mean, Barack Obama, he wouldn't lie. Do you think Jesus Christ is going to lie? Come on. Thousands of Californians are discovering that Obamacare will cost them, and many don't like what they see. Although recent criticism of the health care law has focused on website glitches. There's more than glitches. And early enrollment snags. Oh, it's a snag now. Experts say sharp price increases for individual policies have the greatest potential to erode public support for President Barack Obama's signature legislation. Well, the public never was behind it. The public never supported it. The only people who supported it were the people that weren't in it. Isn't that funny? Didn't have to worry about it. Those are the people that were supporting it. This is when the actual sticker shock comes into play for people, said Gerald Kaminsky, director of the UCLA Center of Health Policy Research. There are winners and losers under the Affordable Care Act. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be, where everybody's supposed to win. There's more losers than there's winners. Fullerton resident Jennifer Harris thought she had a great deal paying $98 a month for an individual plan through HealthNet.inc. She got a rude surprise this month when the company said, well, we're going to have to cancel your policy at the end of this year. Isn't that amazing? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Her current plan does not conform with the new federal rules. There they go again. More rules, more regulations, which require more generous levels of coverage. Abortion. Well, you know, that's one thing she can get now. She can go out and get a free abortion. She can get as many as she wants. Don't worry about it, sweetheart. Don't worry about it. You voted for it. This is what you voted for there, darling. I don't feel damn bit sorry for you. You voted for this. Now you got your free abortions, and now you're going to have to pay for it. So deal with it. Now Harris, a self-employed lawyer, must shop for replacement insurance. Wow. A lawyer. Think a lawyer would be smart enough to realize that she was about to get scammed because she's not that good of a lawyer. a self-employed lawyer, which means she has no clients. You can tell already this is not a very, very smart lawyer. The cheapest plan she has found will cost her $238. Whoa, God, a month? She and her husband don't qualify for federal premium subsidies, which means she's going to, that $238 that she thought she was going to get, well, that's going to be more like $338 or $438. And don't think for a second that it won't. What you sign up today is not what you're going to pay tomorrow. They earn too much money, about $80,000 a year combined. So they have $80,000 a year, which means they are screwed. That's the people they're going to go after. It doesn't seem right to take the middle class to pay so much more in order to give health insurance to everybody else. Well, that's how it's going to work. See, it's not going to really affect the rich so much because they're still going to be rich. So if they pay a little more in insurance, well, whatever. But the middle class is going to, they're going to be the ones who are going to have to feel the brunt. And since the middle class is getting, smaller and smaller and smaller every day, those prices are going to go up and up and up and up every day. They got to balance it out somehow, some way. Oh, we want to get back to fighting for the middle class. Yeah. You're raping them. Anytime there's any kind of tax, anything, middle class feels it more than anybody else. They're always going to feel it more than anybody else. And so stop with this, oh, I'm going to fight for the middle class and try to get jobs. Well, you've had 5 years to do it and you haven't created one. You have a net loss of jobs. You do not have a net gain of jobs. Let's get that understood right away. These people just, and they refuse to accept it. They're doubling down, tripling down. Oh, there's no problem. No problem. Benghazi? Nah, it's not a problem. Nah, don't worry about it. Not a scandal. That's nothing. Fast and Furious? That was nothing. Move on. That's old news. Obamacare's going to work. Most people are going to keep their plans. Let's listen to this knucklehead. So, let me see if I can find it on here now. Punch it into the back room there. Okay, you guys got that up there? All right, this is Axelrod this morning on Morning Joe with Senator Coburn. So go ahead, Axelrod, go.
But first of all, this notion that the website crashed because the government was running it belies the fact that there have been website disasters in private industry as well. So,
oh, let's, sure.
Let's, David, none of us spent $800 million building a website.
Let's put that aside. You talk about transparency. This is the first time in history that you can make an apples-to-apples comparison about health care plans, online in front of you.
Except with your old plan, because you're no longer eligible to buy your own plan, which was the number one promise the president made to the American people.
You are.
Yeah.
You cannot get what you
have. Most people are going to keep their own plan, Senator, and you know that.
That's not true.
There were some plans. The head of Blue Cross in Florida was on television yesterday. Said there's a small number of people in his state who are going to be transferred to plans that have a higher quality, and they will most of them will be subsidized and will end up paying less for those. For those plans, so let's
and
not play games about it. People are not going to. The majority of people in this country, the vast majority of people in this country, are keeping their plan. People who are uninsured are going to have choices they never had before. And as for government, I mean, and they're of private carriers. Their insurance is not going to be with the government. Their insurance is going to be with private carriers. So let's be straight about that. Now, in terms of the government getting involved in health care,
I'll get this guy off of here. Jesus, God Almighty, I can't do blah, 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 blah. $800 million.
Well, that number's only going to go up. You know, they've paid out like $300-400 million so far, and the estimated is anywhere from $600-800 million. But you know damn good and well the government's involved. It's going to be over $1 trillion in no time. Get a website that doesn't work. A website. And Axelrod, well, just put that aside. That's just nothing. It's only $800 million. It's only $1 trillion. Come on. Just put that aside. Just don't think about the negative stuff. Just think about all the positive stuff that most people are going to be able to keep their plans until the government takes them away, which is going to happen in 2015. All of you people and all your unions and all your this and all your that, and you got all these waivers. Well, those waivers are going to have to, get unwaived, and that's coming in 2015. That's your second wave of Obama. So if Obamacare hasn't collapsed before then with what they're going to have now, or supposed to have, or plan to have, or want to have, but they can't seem to get them, if that doesn't single-handedly bring Obamacare down, then the second wave of all these people who have to shift over into Obamacare, that is when it's really going to break down if it hasn't already broken down before. The law itself is going to break down. But you can't trust it, because this kind of governing means that no matter how bad the system works, whether it works or not, actually, they're still going to keep it, because they're not going to come out to the American people and say, we screwed up. They're just afraid to say that they screwed up and they made a mistake. So instead of blaming themselves for their incompetence, they just blame the right, because it's easy. Anybody can blame a Republican, and most people will believe it. Wow, they're a Republican. Of course they screwed up. Friggin' Republicans, of course they did. Of course it was their fault. It's all that negative energy they have. They're racists. What do you expect? So if you think that the law is going to collapse on its own, yes, you're right. But that's still not going to get rid of the law. Just because it's collapsed does not mean that they're going to get rid of it. The only way you're going to get rid of it is if you repeal it. And that's why there's that big fight with the responsible Republicans in the House and in the Senate who are standing up and trying to repeal it. Because they know if they do not repeal it, even though the law itself is going to collapse, it can't work. It just can't, mathematically just doesn't compute. Even though that the law itself will collapse and it will not work, it will not function, it's only going to cost the government trillions and trillions of dollars, more and more every year, they're never going to get rid of it. Because it's the law of the land, and we're not going to admit that we screwed up. So we have to repeal it. And the only way that they can really save face is to allow the Republicans to repeal it. And all they can do is then they can get their build their base back up to all the poor people and say, you see, you had health care, but the Republicans, they took it away from you. Those big, mean, nasty Republicans, they took away your free health care. But they made it affordable for, the people who have a job and want to get health care. We're also allowing more business to conduct business. So the coal mines are going to open up and the drilling's going to open up. The only way to bring jobs is to allow jobs in. Allow businesses to conduct business. There's no reason to restrict these businesses. Yes, okay, you want to have a clean environment. But at the cost of millions of people losing their jobs, no. That's something that intelligent people just don't want to afford and can't afford. The American people can't afford it. If you want all this technology to change, which I understand, okay, fine. Eventually, we're going to have to come down that road. But you can't just sit behind a desk and write up some cockamamie law and expect technology just to be there. You didn't lose your job, which you shouldn't have your job. These EPA so-called agents, they shouldn't be called an agent, first of all.
They're there to make simple recommendations, and that's it. Too many parts of your life, too many parts of my life. Why people aren't upset with that, you know, I don't know, but I do see a turning point with this Obamacare. And somebody said it, and I can't remember who was it, and, you know, they made a good point. That the reason why so many people are so upset with this Obamacare, it's not because of higher taxes, because, you know, when they're taxing, they just, you know, it's just withdrawn from their paycheck. They don't even see it, all these deductions and this and that. But now they're actually having to see it, and they're actually having to feel it. These are real numbers coming out of their check. They're going to have to write the check every month. They're actually having to feel it out of their own pocket. They're feeling it. They're seeing the money go from their wallet into the crapper. And they don't like it. That's why they're standing up. That's why you're having more and more Democrats standing up saying, whoa, we need to put, well, at least let's put the kibosh on this for at least a year and figure out what the hell's happening. Most people are saying get rid of it. Why should the American people have to pay more for less? Why? For what? Who's winning? Nobody. My God, this whole notion that, well, the only industrialized nation that doesn't have universal health care. So? What the hell difference does that make? Why is that so? We are the United States. We are a unique country. We don't follow other countries. We don't follow Europe. We don't hate Europe, but we don't follow Europe. We have our ways of running our country. We broke away from European-style government. We broke away from it because we didn't like it. And now we want to go back for what? Oh, so you can have the control over the masses? You can have universal health care where nobody gets health care? Are you embarrassed yet, Ms. Landrieu? Of course not. Most people are going to keep your plan. Well, most ain't all. And that most people are going to keep their plans until 2015 when they have to switch over. Sebelius now to testify before she's out the door. A key figure in Obamacare's congressional oversight said Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, Cat, will testify before Congress before she's out the door. The comment from House Energy and Commerce Committee Vice Chairman Representative Marsha Blackburn, a Republican from Tennessee, pointed to calls from Republicans for Sebelius to resign over the disastrous rollout of Obamacare's online enrollment system. Well, you know, with this whole thing about her, I mean, if you're going to get rid of her, you're going to have to get rid of a whole lot of people. But just to get rid of her, I think, is a little unfair. Is she incompetent? Of course they are. This whole damn administration is incompetent, and they have proved it. It's either incompetence or it's deliberate. Personally, I think it's a combination of both, which makes it very, very, very dangerous. The incompetence in this building, speaking of incompetence, the incompetence in building this website is staggering, Blackburn told Fox News Sunday. She accused the Obama administration of misleading Congress in previous hearings when officials said the rollout was going smoothly. Of course, oh, everything's going great. Everything's rosy. Everything's going to be fine. Nothing works, but it's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Just tell Congress whatever they want to hear. That's all you got to do. And worry about it later. We're Democrats. We control everything. We can screw up all we want to. All we got to do is
turn around and blame the Republicans. We don't have to worry about it. So, yeah, everything's running smooth. They said, don't worry. We're all on track. Now to find out there was no end-to-end testing and that the people are being disenfranchised and money wasted. No! We find that portion of it unacceptable. Oh, wait a minute. Money wasted? Since when does the government waste any money? Who is this representative here? Who is this Republican from Tennessee, Ms. Blackburn? What are you talking about? Money wasted. They're Democrats. They don't waste it. No. House Democrat Caucus Chairman Xavier Becerra, a Democrat from California, agreed that this administration should be upfront from when the website will be working. Well, got to set a date. You want to give people time to look over the choices so that, well, they can decide that they're ready to go, he said. Well, yeah, I want to decide. Yeah, do I take, you know, how far do I want to, well, I better not. I was going to say something, but no. Maybe before sitting around the campfire drinking beer, maybe I would have said it. Let me see if I can try to rephrase it. Kind of hard to rephrase it, but in other words is, well, how badly do you, which plan do you, is going to hurt the least? Let's put it that way. So you're going to get stung, you're going to get hurt. It's just a matter of how bad you want that pain. How much pain do you really want? How much pain can you afford? That's what it is. And for what? What did we get by this? That should embarrass you, Ms. Landrieu. In all honesty, this plan here that you were so proud of, that's why you got your little Louisiana purchase. Now, how many millions did you get again? Yeah, I know it was Katrina relief, but to put that in a health care bill, how does that fit with health care? To get you to sign on. You weren't really all that keen with it, but when they handed you a check of billions and billions and billions of dollars, oh, look at this. Okay, I'm all for the health care. And I'm embarrassed to go to Europe because we don't have this health care. You're a sellout, Ms. Landrieu. And I'm embarrassed because I actually stuck up for you once. Once. I almost liked you once. Once. But you have shown your true colors. You have shown your true colors. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And now we have Mr. Woodward. The secret government under Obama administration needs to be reviewed. This was on Face the Nation yesterday. Mr. Schieffer, what is so interesting, Bob Woodward? And you know, you and I have seen a lot of these things, Mr. Woodward. Oh, too much, Bob. And Mr. Schieffer, well, the first thing that agencies tend to do is try to make sure that they can't be blamed for something. Oh, really? Not this administration. They love taking the blame. And clearly, that is why the FBI and the CIA did not come clean with the Warren Commission. Now we're going all the way back to the Warren Commission. Wow. And why, maybe they didn't even tell the agents in Dallas what was going on. No. Then Mr. Woodward retorts, well, initially in the Watergate cover-up, part of the argument was, oh, you'll expose covert operations in Mexico because they weren't laundering $89,000 of money that helped finance Watergate. I think there's a theme here in all of this that you have laid out that connects somewhat to what's going on now. And that is the power of this secret world, CIA, FBI. On and on and on. I mean, it's stunning, he says, and this information really did get to the Warren Commission. I mean, we're talking about Warren Commissions and this and that.
Then he goes on, we now look at what's going on with the NSA wiretapping. People are saying, well, they didn't know, or they didn't know, or they didn't know, nobody knew. Of course nobody knows. When somebody in Washington says they don't know, that means they were in charge of it. That's what that means. God almighty in heaven. Sweet jumping Jesus. I'm not a real big Bob Schieffer fan, and I'm certainly not a Bob Woodward fan. So when you get these two knuckleheads together, Woodward is making some good points. I do got to hand it to him. He is making some good points. For whatever reason, he does not like the Obama administration. And again, my theory is that he wanted to get a job at the administration, and, well, they said no. So pissed him off, so now he's going to write about him. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I'm not saying it is. Merely speculation. But I don't trust either one of them. And I don't trust that Mr. Schieffer either. He likes to withhold news and then play dumb. Well, I didn't know. I'm sick of that kind of, those excuses, especially with the media. When you've got a reporter who says, I don't know, that's a reporter who has not done his job or he's lying to you. There's no other possible scenario. You know damn good and well, who was that other guy, Charlie, whatever the hell his name was, and the guy on NBC, too. God, he drives me nuts. Brian Williams, you watch his newscast. There's nothing on that newscast. Most of the newscast is all these ads for drugs, which... You would think that you've got supposedly all these millions of people that are watching, the evening news. You think you may be able to find a little bit more advertising that's going to reach people other than senior citizens having to take all these medications that are going to give them more complications than the actual complication themselves? You think you could find some different advertising? I'd like to see an hour-long newscast, but they don't have that. You might get a good 5 minutes of actual content news. You're not going to get all of the news, but you might get, somewhat content news. And the rest is these fluff pieces. Jesus, God almighty. What does Brian Williams have that making a difference? Oh, God, stewardess, barf bag, please. Blah. Making a difference. Cover the friggin' news, Mr. Williams. Will you please stop with this crap? I hate that fluff. You want to put that kind of crap on the evening, on television? That belongs in those stupid fluffy morning shows. That does not belong on the evening news. Take a few of those puff pieces, throw them away, and start digging into what happened in Benghazi. You'd be surprised what you could find out. You see, they don't want to do that. They do that, well, they might have to actually report that this administration was, well, not all above board. And they can't do that because if they outed a Democratic president, oh, my Lord, I mean, that's sacrilege. That's heresy. That's punishable by death. So let's see here. What's the next one here? Mr. Obama approved the tapping of Angela Merkel's phone 3 years ago. Uh-oh, he said he didn't. Who's lying here? Uh-oh, somebody's not telling the truth. President Obama was told about monitoring of German Chancellor in 2010 and allowed it to continue, says German newspaper. Last week, however, Mr. Obama assured Ms. Merkel, no, we're not doing it, and we're not going to do it. Yeah, but did you do it? Well,
We still get yet to get an answer to that, and nor will you. We don't need the answer to it because we're all smart and we all know. So a surveillance operation raises questions about whether U.S. officials breached domestic laws. Hans-Peter Friedrich, the German interior minister. If Americans intercepted cell phones in Germany, they broke German law on German soil. He noted that wiretapping was a crime in Germany and those responsible must be held accountable. We'll go get them. See, we all know that we all spy on each other, and that's been reported. Everybody knows it. But you can't get caught, and you cannot get caught this many times. There is no excuse how you allowed a man like Mr. Snowden. I'm not calling the guy a hero, and I'm not calling him the Antichrist. I'm not calling him a traitor. I think he's a little bit of both. I don't really know what he is. I'm kind of on the fence. He did good and he did bad at the same time. Is the good he did, who is it good to? Well, is it good to the world? Is there any good that might come out of it? I like to think that there is going to be some good that will come out of it. And what's going to come out of it is you're going to have a lot more, well, people are going to be a lot more careful when they're going to be spying. That's number one. And number two, they should, well, I'm not saying this administration because I don't trust this administration for anything. But in the future administration, I think they're going to be putting some more safeguards on there so people like Mr. Snowden can't just walk in and get a job, not graduate high school, got a GED, walks in, gets a job 30 days later, flies to Hong Kong with all of this information. And then he flies to Russia with that same information. He's now living comfortably in Russia and liking it. Now, again, I'm still on the fence whether this guy did the right thing or the wrong thing, but I think he did both. He exposed some things that I do believe that the American people need to know. We need to know what our government is doing, and we need to know, and if we do find out, well, it's because the government allowed us to find out. And if they allowed us to find out, that means that this government is incompetent. And if they are incompetent, we need to get them replaced. We can't be having this. Yes, spying on people is one thing, but 70 million phone calls in a month, it seems a little excessive, just saying. I know you're out looking for bad guys, but 70 million people in phone calls in France. I mean, how many? I don't even think 70 million people even live in France. So that would mean that every single person in France had their phones tapped by the NSA. What the hell? I know they're not listening to every single one, but the whole point is what are they looking for? And why are they such? Why is it so broad? Why not take the time to pinpoint, you know, a little closer? Why do you need 70 million phone calls a month from France? It just seems a little excessive. But if you are going to do it, you need to make goddamn sure you do not get caught. Same with baseball. You can catch the other guy's signs. That's part of the game, but you can't get caught. Same internationally. Yeah, we all spy on each other, but we can't get caught. And if we do get caught, we need to correct it. We need to make sure we don't get caught. But this guy's been spying on everybody. And these are just the reports that you know we've heard about. What about the reports that we haven't heard about? What about the stuff that's happening right now, right this second? Just think. Right now, this very second, somebody's getting spied on. It might be you. Might be me. Might be everybody. For what? Terrorists? How about when people tell you, lieutenant commanders, you know, lieutenant colonels, the commander of the Green Beret, when he tells you that,
Well, they're beefing up an attack, and it's imminent, and we need real security here. How many times did he have to warn the State Department and the DOD? According to the leaked documents in Spiegel, NSA officials acknowledged that any disclosure of the existence of the foreign listening posts would lead to grave damage for U.S. relations with other governments. Yep. And it's happening. People are not going to be putting up with this. Peter King, a fellow Republican congressman, said that Mr. Obama should not apologize for NSA operations in Europe. Apologize for everything else. You might as well apologize for this. Apologize to the world for the United States being a superpower. We're not a superpower anymore. I guess that's deliberate. Is that the transformation, the fundamental transformation of this country is what he was talking about? Is that what it is? Nobody respects us. Nobody fears us. We're running out of money. Cities all across the country are going bankrupt, one after another. California, the entire state is going to go bankrupt. They'd be lucky to go another year before they went bankrupt. I would be very surprised if California is solvent in a year from now. I don't think it's going to happen. But you see, the president doesn't know. He didn't know any of this stuff was going on. No, he has no idea what's going on with the drone program. He doesn't know anything. Oh, no, he doesn't know anything about Benghazi or the IRS. He found out in watching TV. What the hell is the president doing watching television in the first place? Why would the president be watching the news? Doesn't he have work to do? I wonder what station he was watching. Was it MSNBC or CNN, I wonder? USA, NSA spied on 60 million Spanish. Oh, now he's doing 60 million in Spain a month. Well, he did 70 million in France. Is there even 60 million people that live in Spain? And now the world anger goes far beyond Europe and the NSA. Whether miffed over the spying revelations or feeling sold out by the United States moves into the Middle East, some of the United States' closest allies are so upset that the Obama administration has gone on to damage control mode to ensure the rifts don't widen and threaten critical partnerships. So Obama's out there on damage control mode, and all he's doing is pissing off all of our allies more and more and more. Who's our friend? We've lost Israel. I don't think Netanyahu trusts his president, and he shouldn't. But nor should we trust him, really, for that matter. But I would trust Netanyahu over Barack Obama, I can tell you that. We can't trust anybody anymore. And the problem is because we can't even trust ourselves. And it's unfortunate, but there's reasons why we can't trust ourselves. We can't trust our own government. When you're told one thing and delivered something else, after a while, you have to naturally it comes natural. There's no you can't fight it. After a certain period, certain point, you can't fight it any longer. You have to accept the reality. Does this administration do that? Do Democrats do that? No. How many times has liberalism been proven that it doesn't work? Not one thing that liberalism has brought this country has been a success. Not one thing. Does Obamacare complete failure? They will never admit then it is a failure. And even if the law itself collapses, which it will, they will still not get rid of it. They'll just keep dumping more and more money into it. The only way to get rid of it, Mr. McCain, Mr. McConnell, Mr. King, is you have to get rid of it. You have to actually repeal it. Just because the law collapses on its own doesn't mean that it's going to go away. You have to be smart enough to understand that. You've been in Washington long enough, you must understand that. And if you don't, then it's most definitely time for you, sir, to get there, all of you. Go. Bye-bye. Go back to the farms. You know, go back to the hoods, wherever you came from. Go back to the hills. Stay out of the government. If you're not going to fight for what's right, we don't need you on our side. Go. In 2014, there needs to be a massive field day in the House. I mean, we need to clean that House. I mean, it needs to be squeaky clean. And we need to slap around that Senate, too. There's a whole bunch of people that need to be losing their job in the Senate. Any Republican that voted to refund the government in the Senate or in the House, you're gone. And if you're a Democrat, whether you voted for it or not, you need to go. We need a clean House. We need a new government. We have to be the ones to do it. They're not going to do it. We have to do it. We must take the responsibility ourselves. We can't allow our leaders to do our job for us. We have to do it. We have to demand what we want from our leaders. And if we do not demand what we want from our leaders, we're never going to get it. And we haven't demanded for a very long time. So therefore, we don't get it. Well, now we got to realize that we haven't done a lot of work in a long time. We won with Ronald Reagan, and after that, we gave up. We accepted the fact that, well, we've had several wars to ensure our freedom. We've got a constitution. It says right there, I'm free. I got a Bill of Rights. Gives me all the rights that I need. We never bothered to look, never bothered to check, never bothered to investigate. We woke up one morning and boom, look at this. The Bill of Rights has been destroyed. And that destruction keeps happening more and more every day. So there's going to be nothing left of the Bill of Rights. There's very little left of the Bill of Rights as it is. Well, we got to build that block back up. We got to build that wall back up. That is our wall. That's our safeguard. That is our protection against the government. That's what that Constitution is our protection against the government. That's the whole purpose of the government being formed the way we formed the government. Maybe if you paid attention in school, or maybe if your teacher actually, you know, knew the information, they might be able to teach it to you, but they don't. They don't even talk about the Constitution other than it's racist, antiquated, dumb. Because they don't understand it. If they actually read it and understood it, it'd be a whole different story. Dick Cheney, Middle East allies no longer trust the United States. Enemies don't fear us. Really? Really, Dick? Dick Cheney said Sunday that the Republicans need to look to a new generation of leaders as the party deals with poor approval ratings following the government shutdown. Where are they getting these people? I don't know anybody who's that concerned because of the government shutdown that they're blaming it on Republicans. I don't know where these numbers are coming from. I don't know one person that even was blaming anybody. I don't know one person that was, one citizen that was upset over that government shutdown. Their lives really weren't affected other than the administration was the only one playing any games with anybody. Shutting down oceans, closing down mountains, dirt paths, kicking elderly people out of their homes and forced to live in an ice cream shop. That was unnecessary. screwing with the veterans, completely unnecessary. And that was done deliberate. The GOP got whipped in the 2012 presidential campaign when President Barack Obama won re-election over Mitt Romney, and the party needs to build its base of supporters and find first-class candidates and turn to a new generation of leaders, Cheney told ABC's This Week. It's not the first time we had to go down this road, and it's basically, I think, healthy for the party to be brought up short. So now it's okay, now it's time to go to work, he says. Well, I agree with him. I'm going to have to go ahead and agree with Mr. Cheney on this one. We need to get rid of the old dust, the old dirt. We need to get rid of it. It's not doing any good. If they're not going to be there to fight, what the hell is the point? Mr. King, you've been in office for too long now. Mr. McCain, you have definitely been in office too long. Mr. McConnell, much too long. Mr. Graham, you know, you got to go. You got to get rid of all of them. Look, if they're not going to fight for you, they're not going to fight for what is best for you, they're not going to fight for what you want them to do, what you want them to fight for, you have to get rid of them. Every single Republican that voted to open up the government and accept this $0.9 billion pork sandwich from Mr. McConnell, and God only knows what other pork has been in this bill, any of those Republicans, they need to be challenged by the Republican Party. Mr. Reince Priebus, you better get hot, better get busy. Start finding people out there. I'm in Mr. King's district, so you can talk to me. I'll be more than happy to challenge Mr. King. More than happy to debate him. More than happy to challenge him. More than happy to take his job and work for the American people. I'm more than happy to accept that responsibility. More than happy to take that oath to uphold and defend our Constitution. I've already taken that oath. And once you take it once, it doesn't just stay with you the only time that you're in the service. Nah, you take that oath once, it lasts forever. That's a forever oath. That's not just for a short time that you're in the military or you're in public office. But you take that oath once, that oath lasts forever. That oath never goes away. Never. Oh, I've taken that oath. I was proud to take that oath. I have always, and I always will, uphold and defend the United States Constitution, no matter how much you trash it. I still will defend it. So, Mr. Priebus, if you want to find a candidate that is more than willing, capable, able, responsible, the job to challenge Mr. King, I am your man. I am your man. Now we have immigration reform. Immigration. The immigrants are upset, so now they're going to escalate. Now they're going to get even madder now. They're going to have more civil disobedience. They want to become automatic citizens. Well, all these people, a lot of them do not have jobs, so they're going to become automatic citizens. Then they're going to have to enroll into Obamacare, and they're going to have to get all these subsidies because they don't have any money. So now the Obamacare you thought was going to double or triple, now, well, it's going to get even higher than that. It's going to double and triple again. But at least the Democratic Party is going to have a lot more voters. Well, you know what? We can't protest your country and demand that we get our free citizenship. So who the hell do you people think you are? You can come over here, and when you don't get what you want immediately, then you're going to up the ante and make your demonstrations more and more, or get more and more aggressive? You people have no, first of all, you don't have the right to protest our government. That right to protest the government, that right is not for you. You're not a citizen. That right is exclusively for the United States citizens. This Constitution is not for anybody other than a citizen. Now, on the other hand, that does not mean that you come over here and you're not a citizen, that you can't be treated with, you know, I mean, we can't violate your civil rights. Come on. But you should not have the right to protest our government. You're not a citizen of this country. And here you are demanding our government give you citizenship? You think maybe if you want the government to give you citizenship, you think maybe you might be a little nicer to them rather than protest? And you know they're going to leave the protest grounds just filthy and disgusting. I don't think one person should be allowed to leave. Chain it up. See, you want to protest? Here's your protest area. Right here it is. Chain link fence. And not one is allowed to leave until every bit of garbage is picked up. Think that'll happen? No, that'll be racist. You make them pick up their own garbage? Oh, hater. Yeah, that's right. Pick up your friggin' garbage, you slob. If it requires me to be disobedient, I will do it and do it again. I'm not going to read this man's name, but he's a chef in Lake Worth to Washington earlier this month to get arrested along with 207 others who blocked a street during a mass rally. I'm not going to repeat any of your names. You're illegal aliens. As far as I'm concerned, you don't exist. I don't protest your country. I can't protest your country, nor would I. I've got respect for sovereign countries, which you do not. Therefore, protesting us illegally this way and in the form that you are doing, you don't deserve citizenship. You want to get your citizenship? Well, follow the rules. My grandparents had to. Why don't you? We are tired of the politicians just giving us promises, and they don't do anything, said this Jack Wagon, who this illegal alien. I left my fingerprints in Washington in black and white, and it was worth it. We will do that here in Florida. When we see a chance, we will just do it. Oh, so they're trying to warn people. Warn people down there in Florida. When you least expect it, damn it, you expect it. And if we feel like uprising, well, we're going to do it. Well, throw them in jail. Throw them in Leavenworth. Throw them in a work camp. Well, you can't do that, but look, we've got to do something here. We've got to get these people have to start respecting our laws. Well, the only way these people are going to start respecting our laws is if we start respecting our laws, but we don't. We don't respect our own laws, so why should they? So why should we expect these other people to respect our laws? Well, we need to start again. Come to the voting booth. We need to start putting people in there that are going to respect our laws. Now, the Constitution is not that difficult of a document to comprehend. I'm sorry. It's not. That's the easiest thing in the world a government has to do is simply just follow this one document. There's no reason why Congress passes as much legislation as they pass. That's not the purpose for Congress. It's not a goddamn contest to see who can pass the most legislation. That doesn't mean that you're doing your job. You're passing that much legislation, you're not doing your job. And now they want to put a black box in your car. Well, because they don't have enough control over you. They've already got you tracked on GPS with your cell phone. Now they got to track you on your car and pay for every mile you drive, because you're driving around a gasoline vehicle that produces smoke, leaves a carbon footprint, so we're going to charge you every mile. Ugh. The devices would track every mile you drive, possibly including your location, and the government would use that data to draw up a tax bill. Imagine that. Now that's coming to a town near you. As America's road planners struggle to find the cash to mend a crumbling highway system, many are beginning to see a solution in a little black box that fits neatly into the dashboard of your car. The devices which track every mile a motorist drives and transmit that information to bureaucrats at the center of a controversial attempt in Washington at state planning offices to overhaul the outdated system for funding America's major roads. So here's what they're going to do.
They're going to charge you per mile so they can fix the roads. Well, they're not going to fix the roads because they're going to use that money to spend it on something else that just happened to have come up, or they don't have it. So you're not going to get any roads, but we're going to have to tax you more now so we can get the roads fixed. But Republicans say, well, they're blocking it. They're blocking for these higher taxes. So that's why you don't have any roads fixed, because the Republicans. Not that they took the money and spent it on something other than what it was supposed to be for. And then when they wanted to raise taxes again, Republicans said no, and that's why you don't have any bridges. So there you are with that. Anyway, I am done today. I can't take any more of this. They're going to tax you no matter what you do. They're going to get you here. They're going to get you there. They're going to get you anywhere they can. So it's up to us to block that. And the only way we can block that is start vetting these people before we put them in office. And then when they do get into office, we demand they do what their job is. And if they don't, then we recall them. We get rid of them. Do your work or you're gone, period. We need to have that more from us. We are the employer. They are the employee. Anyway, this is about it for today. I want to leave you with, again, we discussed the passing of Lou Reed, a rock and roll legend. If you don't know who he is, well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. But Lou Reed, you will be sadly missed. We thank you for everything that you have done. And rest in peace, my friend. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 10.
Holly came from Miami, FLA, hitchhiked away across the USA, plucked her eyebrows on the way, shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. She was everybody's darling, but she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go do 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 do. The place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey, sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. All right. Ha. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was James Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that fashion. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, do 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 do